Man, while you're standing, you can put your hymn books up. Thank you, Andrew and Madison and Brother Doggett. And take your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 5. We're going to read verses 21 to 24. Genesis chapter 5 and verses 21 to 24. I'll read verse 21. You read verse 22 with me. Then I'm going to pray after I read these verses, and then we're going to get to have a special this morning, and that's always a treat. So Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for church. Thank you, Lord, for the songs we get to sing. Please help us this morning now. And Lord, help us as we hear your word. Please, preached. Touch our hearts, help us to apply it to our lives. And Lord, use this short time that we have together, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
You may wonder why I do what I do and why I have given my life to serving Jesus, doing his will, working for him day and night. Well, I can't explain it, it's simple but true. When I started not too long ago, when God made a change, he made a difference. Faith is alive deep in my soul, alive down deep in my heart. Makes me want to shout and sing a peace that only the presence of Jesus can bring.
You. Isn't that a blessing? That's neat. That's special. Genesis chapter 5 there, and this morning we're going to look at lessons from Enoch that we can learn for living in the last days. And when you come to Genesis chapter 5, you're introduced to someone who is breaking the pattern that Cain set. Cain, the first murderer in the Bible, the first one to walk away from God, the first one to turn his back on what God promised. and society starts to take a downward turn. Adam and Eve lose their garden because we learned last week that Adam let his wife lead when he shouldn't have. And therefore, the battle of the sexes began. And we learned that last week. Well, Cain starts a pattern of living without God. And it says in Genesis chapter 5, at the start of the chapter right there, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam, and the day that God created him, and the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. Now that verse is where we get the teaching that a woman gives up her name and takes her husband's name. In other words, how come the man doesn't change his name? Because she hides her identity in him. That's the way it's been. We've pulled that from the Bible, and that's a truth that's wonderful to see. And watch this. It says, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. See, Adam was made in God's likeness. Adam was made sinless. But when he sinned, everyone born after him was born in his sinful likeness, in Adam's likeness. All right, so sinfulness being in our nature and the natural tendency to do wrong, you can see that. It says, in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And then verse 4, in the days of Adam after he begat Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And then you end up, you say, why is this important? Because Genesis 6 is going to be the chapter in the Bible where God says, that's it. Mankind has altered the way I created him. He's allowed what it means to be human to change. DNA manipulation started taking place, and Satan was having a heyday. That starts in chapter 6. Chapter 5, so God tells Noah, who's perfect in his generations, doesn't allow his genes to be played with or his DNA, and God saves Noah and his family, but kills everybody else on the earth because they're not like God made them. They're altered humans. All right? So right before chapter 6, you've got Genesis chapter 5, and you have a man named Enoch. And there's, I believe, 43 words about the life of this one man who appears to stand against the norm. And God took note, and I'll read to you here in just a minute what he wrote in the New Testament, but this is one of the most amazing people here. Enoch is right before the flood. So as Enoch is born and then taken, that we'll see, then God judges the earth, and Noah and his family are carried through the flood, just like Israel will be carried through the tribulation. Okay? And Enoch is taken out and is a picture of how the Gentile church is taken up before the judgment, the seven-year tribulation period. All right? So the picture is there, but look more specifically, and it says here, verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And then Genesis 5:22 says, Enoch walked with God. How come he didn't walk with God before his kids were born? Methuselah ends up being the oldest man, oldest recorded age in the Bible. All right? And Greek mythology uses that name, and we'll steal that name from the Bible. But one of the lessons you can learn from Enoch is this. The pressure of raising children is supposed to push you to walk with God. The pressure that God gave you a life in your home to rear for him is supposed to be overwhelming. The responsibility to raise God's, in Ezekiel, God says, those kids that you killed, Israel aborted children. Those kids that you killed, those were my children. And the truth in the Bible that your kids don't belong to you. They belong to God. And God gave you them to rear for him. And that pressure is supposed to, Enoch teaches me this. It's supposed to do what? Oh my God, please help me. And Enoch walked with God after his boy was born. He lived 65 years, had a son, and then he walks with God. That's always taught me. The thought of having a child and having a kid in your house that's going to do mostly of what you show them, because more is caught than taught, right? My dad always said, I don't know if I'm a good dad or not. I'll find out when you raise your kids. He said, I'll find out if I was a good parent or not by what you let your kids get away with or what you discipline for. That was a neat statement that stuck with me. My dad said, when you were born, my life changed overnight. Everything was different. The way I spent money was different. My goals were different in life. Enoch is a picture of that. I have a life given to me from God that I'm supposed to rear for the Lord. And the first realization is this. You know you can't do it. At least I think you know you can't, right? It's supposed to, Lord, if this kid turns out right, and if you're able to work in their life, it'll be because you helped me. What do we read in Psalm 127? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We learned last week, what's the greatest damager of children? What emotionally cripples them? That doesn't mean they can't be used of God. Jack Hiles came from a single home. Jack Hiles watched his dad beat his mother when he was drunk. He said, I watched my dad knock my mother's front teeth out. So it's not that if you're from a divorced home, God can't use you. We know history shows that's not true, but they struggle more. What is the thing that damages children emotionally the most? Divorce. Because that's not the home God designed. That's not how God designed it. Well, here, Enoch, I think one of the first truths you can pull from it, I wanted to just give this morning because of the chaos of last week a little bit. And I know there was a lot that took place last week. I guess yesterday there was a cyber attack that shut down airports, fuel stations, I think all over the world, especially on our East Coast. I don't know why more isn't reported about it, but they said it was just a practice run. And they said what's coming is a shutdown. Now, you say, well, doesn't that bother you? Preached 2 weeks ago, not that you remember everything I preached. Whatever's coming, I've been delivered from. And I can make it through anything in the future that God wants me to go through. Amen? I just need to keep my eyes on the Lord. But as we enter this chaos, amen, I think it's going to get more chaotic. If anything, it just shows you this world, you cannot trust it. The world does not have the answers. The world is not the way to peace. Figuring out if that shooter that shot Trump was really, who was behind that and who allowed it, it's not going to get you anywhere. I'll tell you right now, it was rigged. It was rigged. It was rigged like Lee Harvey Oswald, James Earl Ray. Every shooting in America has been rigged. Every shooting has been rigged. They find a patsy, they find somebody that they can call emotionally unstable, and then that's the guy they run with. Every shooting has been rigged, including this one. Well, what are we going to do? And what's he going to do at the next rally? I guess he already had one. Who cares? I'm glad the kid didn't know what he was doing. Give a 19-year-old an AR-15, can't make a 136-yard shot. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he failed. But the kid had no idea what he was doing. None. Did not know how to use a gun. That's my opinion of the chaos. As we get closer to the election, it's going to get more chaotic. They're going to go nuts. How am I supposed to respond as we live in these last days to more of what's coming? The pandemic, there's another one coming. They're going to mandate more vaccines. It's going to kill more people. How do you handle, Enoch teaches me as he got close to the flood, how is the earth during Enoch's days? You have a picture of it in the next chapter. It says right here, it says verse 4, I'm at Genesis 6, 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Look at verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God at first said everything was good. Then man dorked it up. Then the devil led in a campaign to manipulate the DNA to make people no longer human the way God made them. And God said, I wish I hadn't even created man. And God found one man, right? Look at verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, Enoch was taken before the flood, before God judged the earth. So Enoch teaches me, just because everything's going crazy and just because everybody's losing it and just because there's a lot of chaos, it doesn't teach me that I can't please God. I can live for the Lord when things are falling apart. As America implodes and as the system breaks down, I can still please God. Amen. And Enoch drew my attention Because in Matthew, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew chapter 24, 37. What's he saying? He said, when mankind was worth killing, and God says, I'm going to kill them all. God says there was one man who found grace in my sight, and Noah walked with God also, just like Enoch did, right? As I learn, when chaos breaks out, you can either be like Noah, take your stand, not participate, or it says, as it were, in the days of Lot. What did Lot do? Lot caved. God said, during the days of Lot, I thought I had a guy that I could depend on and use, but he failed. Failed his family. Failed everyone. So you can either be like Noah, or you can be like Lot. God said, during the days of Noah, there was one man that wouldn't quit, wouldn't cave, wouldn't bow, wouldn't bend, wouldn't burn. Amen? Which one are you going to be like? This morning, I thought we would look at Enoch as a picture. As we get close, we're in the last days. I believe we're close to Jesus coming. I believe we're seeing things that no other generation has seen. We're getting close. Enoch shows us, watch this. So he has a son at age 65. Look at verse 22, Genesis 5:22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So he lived 300 years walking with God before the flood. Now, here, just to answer the question, I think every Bible Christian should know. Before Genesis 6, the atmosphere was different on the earth before the flood. The atmospheric pressure was five times more than it is now. When you took a breath in Noah's day before the flood, or Enoch's, or Adam's, when you took a breath, it was five regular breaths that you take right now. Scientists will tell you, the way the atmosphere was before the flood, you could sprint for 5 miles and never be winded. When you breathe, the amount of oxygen you took in, people were living to be, Methuselah lived 960 something years. Adam lived 930 years. How did people live that long? Because they were like in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. Then the flood happened and God opened up the gates and we have the atmosphere that we have now. Okay? 1/5 of the atmospheric pressure. So that's how come he walked with God 300 years. It was different before the flood than it is now. And then watch this. And he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Notice the colon at the end of verse 23. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So at the end of 365 years, God took Enoch. He was praying, and he didn't come back. God physically took him in his body and took him to heaven. God took him. That's why people that make fun of the rapture are so stupid. I have some family members, they think the rapture is stupid, you know, and when they talk, they're like, I remember my grandpa. I'm glad my grandpa was saved, but he's in heaven and he knows I'm right now, okay? But my grandpa used to say, you really believe in the rapture? So you believe in a physical body that's going to stop existing and God's going to change it and fly you through the air? And I used to say, yes, sir, because the Bible teaches that. We're all going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15. We can go, I mean, there's all types of scripture. My grandpa never believed that. They make fun of it by saying, well, how could God do that? That's just talking about death, and when you die, you go to heaven. I said, no. It's talking about supernatural, like when God took Enoch, and they can't stand the picture of Enoch. Enoch was spending the day with God, and God took him where there is no night, and Enoch, for the past 4,000 years, has been spending the day with God. Amen? I love that. Amen? He's where there's no night. So, no, God took him. Now, Enoch, living in the last days, walked with God, and I want to show you how to do that. But notice what else Enoch did. Go to the back of your Bible in the book of Jude, and God teaches you about Enoch again. And just so everybody knows, there's a bad Enoch in the Bible. There is an Enoch that did evil in the sight of the Lord earlier in Genesis. We're talking about the good Enoch. Amen. And in the book of Jude, God says here in verse, right before Revelation, look at Jude, verse 14. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. So it tells you right genealogy, right where he's at, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Isn't that amazing? A man, Enoch, with no Bible, preached about the second coming of the Lord coming to the earth. Enoch didn't have a Bible. The Bible doesn't come along, right, until you get, probably right around Exodus 33, when God gives Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So a man with no Bible, but he walked with God, preached to everybody that the Lord's coming with 10,000s of his saints. He's preaching about the second coming of the Lord. Look at the next verse, verse 15. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I wonder what the key word of that verse is. Ungodly, right? So Enoch's living in an ungodly time, and God recorded, there was a man when the earth was full of violence, and every man's imagination was evil continually. There was a man that preached about me coming again and making it right. As things get bad, it makes heaven more wonderful. As things get chaotic, I don't care if you want to take the Trump shooting. I don't care if you want to take the stupid stuff that's happening. I don't care if you want to take the genocide of the vaccines. Pick any number of things that are happening. The evil. It's wonderful to know. When Jesus comes, he's going to fix it all. And those of you that hate God and can't stand the Bible and don't have room for God and can't stand church and you wish Christians would just leave, God's going to kill all of you. Your time to get saved is now. Oh, you don't want to get saved? That's fine. God won't make you get saved, but you're going to burn in hell. Enoch preached the same way. He said, God's going to judge every one of you for your ungodly deeds and your ungodly speeches. Keep talking the way you're talking. What do I learn as from Enoch as we get closer to the end days? Number one, walk with God. We'll come back to that. But number two, as you walk with God, it helps you fall in love with the Lord, and it helps you see the evils of this world. I told you before COVID, maybe I was too comfortable. Maybe my American Christianity was so convenient and so soft and so normal that finally we had to be shaken up and realize there's wicked people in this earth. And as that got exposed, they hate Christ, they hate church, they hate the Bible. It makes heaven sound awful sweet. Makes you long for the rapture. I hope it does. A little more. It should encourage you to think that Jesus could come tomorrow. Maybe today. Wouldn't that be awesome if he came when we were in church? Wouldn't that be neat? It shouldn't bother you at all. Oh, Revelation. Revelation shouldn't scare you at all. It's when Jesus comes and kills all of those who didn't want him now. Yeah, you should be praying for people to get saved. You should be praying for people to trust the Lord. Now's the time to get saved. But when they don't get saved and the rapture happens, my message to every one of them, you need to go somewhere, sit down, take a nice deep breath and face the fact you're going to burn in hell forever. Just you ain't making it.
Well, I got beans and rice and a bunker.
Okay? Beans, Band-Aids, and bunkers. I don't care what you got. 2 Thessalonians 2 said, you heard the gospel. You heard it once. You said no. You won't get saved. You're going to burn in hell forever. Amen? It teaches, as things get chaotic, here's Enoch. What a message. What a street preacher. Amen? Didn't even have a Bible, but said, the Lord's coming. And it's going to be awesome. He's going to fix it all. I'm preaching 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, I've showed you two verses here, two sets of verses, one in Genesis chapter 5. If I emphasized walking with God is mentioned twice in Genesis 5. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch walked with God, verse 24, and he was not, for God took him. What is walking with God? If you took it in its simplest form, we're going to study it this morning. We're going to look at it. But first of all, walking with God would be staying with God, not doing your own thing. It's amazing in America. God's good as long as I get to do what I want to do. And I don't pray for God's will. The average American prays, God, help me get this done. And God, help me do this. And God, help this turn out right. Then they get married and they're like, God, bless my marriage. And God, bless my home. And God, bless my... And it's like, is that what I wanted you to do? And God doesn't have anything to do with their life. But God's only good as long as I get to live the way I want to live and you bless me. That's American Christianity. That's called humanism. We're supposed, you were put here to live for God. You were put here, Revelation 4:11, for God's pleasure, not yours. Does God like your music? Well, I like my music. Does God like your entertainment? Well, I like my entertainment. That's humanism. I do what I want, me time, I'm number one. God's nice, I'm glad he died for me, as long as he doesn't get in my way. That's American Christianity. But I live the way I want to live, and you better bless me. I want your blessing, and when you don't, when things don't turn out right, I'll show you. I've seen that so much as a pastor. That's not Christianity. Christianity is learning Jesus died for you. Now that your Creator died in your place, what would you do for somebody that died for you? Brother Doggett and I were talking. I think probably, I didn't watch it because it was too late at night, and I'm not staying up to watch, you know. I did glance at the RNC, but when they had Hulk Hogan up there, I was like, this whole thing, I think we're so, if you aren't careful, you're going to actually think being a conservative politically is the same as being spiritual. Even Tucker Carlson, he'll tell you he's not born again. I am not born again. Tucker Carlson has said that several times, but he said, I respect the Bible. And I'm kind of like, dude, come on. You know, don't stop there. Amen. Don't go to hell. Is Tucker Carlson conservative? Yes. Is he spiritual? No. How does God see you when you don't trust his son who died in your place? Wicked. Well, he's not doing drugs and he's not wicked. You have to get saved. And I think in all this political stuff, people are saying, oh man, J.V. Vance and boy, and they're really thinking conservative. I don't even know if Trump's saved. I hope everybody's saved. I hope everybody goes to heaven. But reality says Trump graduated from a Jesuit school. You know what that they're called, the Black Pope? It's the Catholic hitmen. Just do it. Look it up sometime. It's terrifying. He graduated from a Jesuit school. J.V. Vance. They're all Catholic. They're lost men. I hope they get saved. I'd witness to any of them. I really would. But if we aren't careful, we're so used to this communism and socialism that's been coming to America through Biden and all this that we're like, oh, Trump, he's God's man. Read Luke 4:4 sometime is my reset button. Nobody becomes a ruler on this earth unless you worship Satan. No one. Isn't that what Satan told Jesus? Bow down and worship me and I'll give you all these kingdoms because they're mine to give to whomsoever I will. Who owns every kingdom in this earth? Satan. You don't get to be president without bowing down. All President Trump's going to do if he gets in, and I hope he does. Of course I'd hope he does. He's going to buy us time. He's going to slow down the judgment of God. I hope he does get in. I'm voting for him. I don't care. Don't put that bumper sticker on my car or somebody's going to crash into it. But I'm voting for Trump. Okay, I will. We've always picked the best of both evils. You say, why are you talking about this? Because as we get closer, as the chaos increases, all of us want normalcy, the way things used to be. And it's not going back to that. And if you don't start focusing your eyes on the Lord and his word, and if God doesn't become your refuge and your hiding place, my hope is not in the White House. Enoch walked with God. What does walking with God mean? Let's go back to that. Walking with God means I'm with God. I'm not in front of him. I'm not over here doing my own thing. I'm not over there. I'm walking with God. God says when you walk with him, you hold his hand. We can go through Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's holding God's hand and it's walking with God. God, is this where we're going? Is this what? It's just like a child. A child, when they, glory of children is their fathers. Daddy, I want to walk in your shoe steps. I want to become just like you. That's that pressure, right? The pressure of raising good kids. Daddy, if I do what you do, if I go where you go and talk the way you talk, will I be like you someday? And every dad is supposed to go, dear God, help me. Right? Enoch did, and he walked with God. He walked with God, and God, is this where you want me to go? And if I asked you this morning for us to make it with what's coming, and we don't know what's coming, but we can see things, it's getting kind of, this world's wicked place. The whole world lieth in wickedness. We've seen that in the scriptures. Regardless of what's coming, have you ever set out to walk with God? If you ask your average American that, they go, oh, yes, I walk with God every day. And they don't even know what it means. If you're walking with God, look, it says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? The first way you walk with God this morning, how did Enoch walk with God? He agreed. I don't live every word in the Bible because I'm not perfect, but I believe every word. That's what you're supposed to do. None of us have arrived. None of us are perfect, but we're all supposed to admire that book as God's flawless word in the King James Bible. And I'm supposed to, watch this, there's going to be things. What's the first thing that's easiest to disagree probably with God on? Hell. You mean when somebody doesn't trust Jesus as their Savior, they burn and burn until they devolve into a little worm that screams for all eternity with no relief. That would be easy for me to disagree with. I don't like thinking about it, but I believe it because God says it. The burning never stops. Who was it that I think probably the most touching part probably of the RNC, you know, and I'm not politically following stuff. I'm just saying probably the most moving part. I heard people talking about it on Friday at the Shooters Expo was when Trump went up and kissed the fire helmet. To think somebody took a bullet that was intended for me and it went through that guy's head. They said there was brain matter on the thing. And then Trump went up and kissed that, and to have that family there, and your husband died from a bullet that was meant for me. We were talking, and I said, that'd have to change you for the rest of your life. Somebody, and not just anybody died, somebody that came to support you, to go, yay, you know what I mean? They said the guy took the bullet, and he stood up, and he walked over, and he started, you know, you're going to go into shock. And I mean, I'm just amazed somebody could take a bullet through the head and walk. Said he walked a few steps, and then the guy that helped him, you know, was trying to help him, said then finally the body gives way. I said, well, yeah. That led us to thinking one thought. What would you do for somebody that died for you? I guess Trump pulled a million-dollar check out of his pocket. They raised $6 million for the two families that were, you know, one lady took a bullet in the arm, and then that guy that took the, that just led me to thought, I'll bet Trump's different for the rest of his life. Okay, let's go to us. What would you do for Jesus? Isn't that supposed to affect the rest of your life? Wouldn't it affect every decision you make after that? Someone died in my place. Someone took what was meant for me. So if he could do that, right, then to go to Jesus and say, you died in my place, you have me. How can two walk together except they be agreed? God, I don't understand it all. I believe it all. Please grow me and teach me, but God, help me. How do you walk with God? I think it starts with you accept that book as God's word and you say, you know what? I don't understand it all, but it's eternal and it's from God. And when I read this book, it's God speaking to me. It's not oratorical, historical legends. It's God's preserved, perfect, inspired, directed word that God has kept pure, and it's flawless when you read the King James Bible. There are no mistakes, including the italicized words. You accept it, and you know what? I agree. This book is what's supposed to direct my life. The entrance of thy word giveth light. How do I walk with God? God shows you what he likes and what he doesn't like. Here, take your Bible and go to Psalm 1. Go to Psalm 1. How do you walk with God like Enoch? Psalm chapter 1, right at verse 1, first verse in the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God says, if you do those things, if you don't walk in the counsel or the advice of lost people, I can get advice from a lost man how to build a deck for my house. But how to raise my kids, how to guide my life, that advice is never supposed to come from a lost person. Blessed is the man that does not get life-guiding advice from lost people. You know what the most biggest source of ungodly advice, counsel is right now? The music people are listening to. Taylor Swift's a witch. She said she's a witch. She's doing satanic rituals now in her concerts. Oh, my daughter wants to be a Swiftie. Really? Wow. You really do let your kids listen to anything, don't you? It's amazing. It's amazing what's happening. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. God tells you what he likes. If you're going to walk with God, then get away from ungodly people. You know what ungodly means? It doesn't mean wicked. Wicked is people who, that's the cursing God. It says ungodly. Ungodly means without God. How could you take advice from anybody who doesn't go to church? How could you take advice from anybody that is not saved? Well, I'm reading these child-rearing books, and I'm absolutely amazed. Get the ungodly counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's critics. Scornful is criticizers. God tells me in his word what he approves of and what he doesn't. So the entrance of thy word giveth light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? Psalm 119, 130. We can go through all of this, and all I'm trying to tell you this morning is to walk with God means that book, God's word, directs my life. And if God hates it, I should hate it, right? And if God loves it, I should at least try. Amen? If God wants it, look at the blessings. We'll just read two more verses, and we'll keep on going here. Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. What do you delight in? Oh, delight means, oh boy, I can't wait till it happens. Oh boy, tomorrow's Bible time is going to be awesome. That's when I get to read the Bible. What do you long for and want for and think about all the time? The sin of America is covetousness. Look, if you'll sell this much, we'll give you a faster car and a better car and a more expensive car. Everything's there, and we'll give you a bigger house, and we'll give you more stuff, and we'll give you the sin of them. It's to never be satisfied. Read Colossians. God says covetousness, what you think about, and what I'll do anything to get, and if I could just get another job, I can get that, and I can own this, is idolatry. So what do you delight in? What do you allow yourself to enjoy? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his word doth he meditate day and night. Well, I can't think about it all the time. If you want God's blessing, amen, if I want to walk with God, that book, I've got to look forward to it. Watch this, when it loses its pizzazz and its excitement as a clue to me, I'm backslid. You get backslid? Yeah, I get backslid. So much in America to distract us, and I have to go back to God, and I say, I'm sorry, my heart's hard. I'm sorry. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then God tells you the blessing in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If I'm going to walk with God, I have to put God's word as a priority. There's so many Americans, we just said in Sunday school this morning, they did a poll, 93% of America has never read the Bible all the way through, only 7% have, from Genesis to Revelation. I think if you've been saved a year, it only took 4 chapters a day, which is 15 minutes a day to read the Bible through in a year. I can't read the Bible just for 15 minutes. That's barely enough to get started. You say, well, you're a pastor. No, I've got a past I've got to overcome. Helped me so much when I heard one of my friends say, man, since I've been saved, he said, I got to read 10 chapters in the Bible before anything starts making sense. He said, there's so much movies and junk and music and lyrics and garbage up here. Finally, God to help and start cutting through that garbage is best term for it. Because what goes in the computer doesn't leave. My only hope is to override it with that book. Put massive doses of scripture. Amen. If I'm going to walk with God, I have to delight in His Word. There's another thing that Enoch had to do to walk with God and to stay with God. Take your Bible and go to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, to walk with God. Isaiah 65, and this verse I think should be marked in every person's Bible. If I'm going to walk with God, walking with God is so important for me to make it through what's coming. The chaos increases. I can't do anything about that. But Enoch, through days of evil and wickedness and corruption, could please the Lord so much and walk with God so much that God said, why don't you come on up here? He's the only person in the Bible that God did that with. He's still in heaven in a body like this. He has not been, right, glorified yet. Isn't that amazing? I think he's one of the first people I want to see when we get to heaven. Amen? Who else is up in heaven that hasn't died yet? Elijah? He went up in a chariot of fire, right? As soon as I see Jesus, I don't know how long that'll take me once I get there. But then I'm like, okay, I want to see Enoch. He's got to be so wrinkled you could screw his hat on. Amen? I want to see. Now, maybe the glory of God just keeps him looking, I don't know, 29 forever. I don't know. But I want to see that. But there's two people in heaven who haven't died yet. They haven't tasted death. That's got to be amazing. Enoch walked with God. So to walk with God, I need to delight in His Word and agree with Him. Right? And then look at Isaiah 65. Look at verse number 5. As a matter of fact, God describes His anger. Just start in verse 1. Verse 5 is what I want to draw your attention to. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Do you know what He's talking about? He's talking about us getting saved. He's telling the Jews, I raised you as a nation from Abraham. I gave you everything, He said, but a nation that was not called by my name, that's us, is going to listen to me and get saved, but you won't. He's talking to the Jews, right? He's talking to Israel. Look at verse 2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens, and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves, and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh. They weren't supposed to eat pork, right? And broth of abominable things in their vessels. Watch, semicolon, at the end of verse 4, look at verse 5. Which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. God says, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. He said, you're so rebellious, you have a holier-than-thou attitude, you think you're the best because you're a Jew, your pride is so elevated, and you tell everybody, don't get too close to me. I'm God's chosen people. And God says, you don't want anything to do with me. He said, you know what you are? You're a smoke in my nose. I remember in the Marine Corps when we'd be sitting, you know, I didn't smoke, but other guys did. And boy, you can tell the stinking nasty cigarettes from their smell. Those are Marlboros, those are Camels, those are Virginia Slims. I mean, it's like, and then when we went overseas and the guys started getting tobacco from Turkey and stuff like, oh my goodness, that stuff stunk. I was like, come on. Oh, it's so cheap. We can get a whole, I was like, ugh. I said that to say, you're sitting next to somebody that's smoking and it's like, yeah, that's what God says. You know what your pride is to God? God says it's a smoke in my nose. You really think you're better than somebody else? When you pray it, you think I hear you more than it? You make me sick. You're a smoke in my nose. Get away from me. Your pride, it causes God to lock arm you, stiff arm you. Get away from me because of your pride. God says, your prayers, your going to church, your religiosity, your show that you want everybody to... I can't breathe. I can't get away from me. What a verse in the Bible. If I'm going to walk with God, I have to, number one, delight myself in God's Word. Number two, this may be number one, humble myself. When I come to prayer that God, the creator of the universe, would take time for me. Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And what is man that thou judgest him?
God, you actually, Psalm 16, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. God thinks about me. Him, he takes time. That should amaze you. And then he keeps my tears in his bottle. Everyone, God pays attention to everything. And if I just humble myself, God, I don't deserve to talk to you. Lord, I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve anything I got. You've given me everything. I live on your earth, breathe your air, eat your food, drink your water. God, you're so good. And a humility, God says, helps me not push you away. America's so proud. What'd they say when the Twin Towers fell? Quoted that verse out of Jeremiah, we will build again. And it was a finger in God's face. God may have judged America, but we'll build again. What a proud country. And God says, pride comes before destruction. But if you want honor, humble yourself. And that verse, God says, you are a smoke. You choke me up. I can't even breathe when I'm around you. You're so proud and you think you're so better than everybody else. I need to humble myself. Enoch walked with God. He delighted in the Bible. There has to be a delight. You got to look forward to your Bible time. If you don't, you're backslid. Amen? Admit it to God then. Tell God you're sorry. God, I need a fire in my heart for your word. Lord, I need to quit being so distracted with everything else and focus on the eternal. I need to humble myself. Notice that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Can you take your Bible? Let's end with this verse. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 7. 1 Chronicles. Now, verse 7 is what I want you to mark in your Bible, but notice I'll start reading at verse 6. Remember, this morning's message is Enoch, before God judged the earth with water and killed everybody, walked with God and stood for God so God could bless him. I want to be like Enoch. And no matter what the future holds, I want to walk with God, because then I know it doesn't mean I'm never going to have hard times. It doesn't mean I'm never going to cry. It just means whatever's coming, I'll be just fine if I'll just walk with God and put God first. Look at 1 Chronicles 28, verse 7, and verse 6 is where we'll start reading. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. Underline these words, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments at this day. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. How do you get God's blessing? If he be constant. Going to church one time does not make you a good Christian. I'm glad you did. I can think of worse things to do with your time, but how consistent are you? God blesses consistent. You can't do that without a schedule. You can't do that without a budget. Tithing one time in your life, I think that's great, but that's not what makes you a good Christian. It's being a tither and being if he be constant. If he be consistent. If he doesn't stop. Pick a path that God wants you to follow. Get your schedule lined up with the Lord. And then if he be constant, be blessable. Well, you know, we'll do this if there's nothing else going on. Put God first. If he be constant. God says, I can. Now we all know Solomon blew it. He wasn't constant, but if he would have, God said, I'll bless him forever. If he be constant. Same thing's true with us. When do you read your Bible? Well, you know, sometimes it's this time, sometimes it's this time, sometimes if he be constant. My dad used to say, you ought to know what you're doing Sunday morning when you lay your head down Saturday night. I already know where I'm going to be at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. My dad was a deacon and he was always at church. We were always at church 45 minutes beforehand. Amen. I think even sometimes dad opened the doors. I'm just saying, my dad was a machine. Everything was by clockwork. He got up at the same time every morning, got us up at the same time. Nothing changed, right? If he be, I thank God for the training. Amen? You need that, Christian. If I'm going to walk with God like Enoch did, as times get rough, just keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep walking with your Heavenly Father. Keep that book number one. Stay humble and constant. Commit yourself. I'm going to end with this. If I paid you and nobody else knew $1,000 to be in church, would you?
So you'd do for money what you wouldn't do for the Lord. That should bug you. It should bother you. So if I paid you enough, you'd come to church? Because here's where this ends. Yeah, I'd do anything for money. Would you do anything for the Lord? Remember the question? What would you do for someone who died for you? What would you do? This morning's message, I want to walk with God like Enoch. It takes a commitment from the heart. Amen. I hope it's a help to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for church. Thank you for getting to sing and be with your people. I just pray that, Father, please, you'd help us today. Lord, as times get rough, we live in perilous times. Help us to keep our eyes on you. And Lord, so that nothing should shake us. Nothing should bother us. Bless these sweet people, please. Help us this morning as only you can, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. We'll have a short altar call.